morning and welcome to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, March 13, 2017. A recently released political detainees from South Sudan calls on President Kiir to free other detainees who have not been charged.
If you knew and he had already decreed amnesty, how come these people are still being kept in jail? So that is my really final appeal to the president, to see that his decisions are really implemented in Juba, in the field, in Yei, in Magui, in Malakal, everywhere.
And the South Sudan government condemns the kidnapping of two oil workers.
The Tigono would like to make the following. One, unconditional release of the two Indian nationals immediately. Two, calls upon the IGAD to condemn Riek Machar and his followers and blacklist them as terrorists.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. A former political detainee has identified more than 30 South Sudanese men who are still being held in South Sudan. The university lecturer is appealing to President Salva Kiir to release political detainees who are held at various secret detention centers in Juba. President Kiir promised last week that he will order the release of political detainees ahead of the national dialogue. Ayen Bior has more from Washington.
Professor Leonzio Angole Onek, the dean of the College of Applied and Industrial Sciences at the University of Juba, says the National Day of Prayer last week was a good first step to helping right the wrongs committed during the conflict. But he says President Kiir should stick to his promise and immediately release all political detainees.
If you knew and he had already decreed amnesty, how come these people are still being kept in jail? So that is my really final appeal to the president, to see that his decisions are really implemented in Juba, in the field, in Yei, in Magui, in Malakal, everywhere.
Onek is calling for the immediate release of the 32 detainees, many of whom he says he interacted with while imprisoned between December 2015 and late April 2016. Onek says he survived dire conditions while jailed in a shipping container-like prison cell. He says he became very ill while imprisoned and suspects other detainees have as well. He's calling on President Kiir to release them before it's too late.
Baba, Paul Baba, is he still there? Ochite, is he still there? And these many other, the Justins, are still there? I knew them. And so on. So most of these people are still in there.
Onek and Amnesty International both say they have received information that detainees have died while being imprisoned. Amnesty said it could not verify the deaths independently. In May last year, Amnesty International released a report detailing what they described as appalling conditions for South Sudanese detainees. The report says most of them are not charged with any offense, are being held in dire conditions in poorly ventilated shipping containers, and are fed only once or twice a day. Onek corroborated that report.
I could not sleep in the night. There was very little oxygen, so my brain was kicking off, and I was having nightmares. That was the main thing. And then, of course, the other chaps, we were three in our rooms. But the other chaps, there were about eight in a small room, and it was very hot for them, and they were locked up 24 hours, 7 days. So it was quite difficult. They were sweating. Salt, you could see salt on their back because they were sweating salt. Food was a problem. We were eating beans. Maize meal once a day. Sometimes also there are difficulties. We cannot even have the one times a day meal. Could go without food for two days.
Onek emphasized that he was never given access to a lawyer or even charged with the crime. He says during the 5 months he was imprisoned, he had no idea why he was in there. Now he says he's ready to move on.
We do not want to dwell in the past. We want to go forward, and then maybe if there are people, I know it is difficult to pay for life, But if the government later on can accept the responsibility and give some token to the family in appreciation and in a way admitting and say, oh, all of us have sinned, let us forgive each other and let us move forward.
Onek says the release of the detainees would be consistent with the August 2015 peace deal. And if President Kiir really wants forgiveness, he should release all of the detainees and prisoners being held by the National Security Service. Ayan Bior, VOA News, Washington.
A senior commander with the SPLM in opposition has resigned from his post and joined the newly formed National Salvation Front. Faiz Ismail Fothur was the sector commander in Western Bahr al Ghazal. General Ismail says institutional malfunctions within Riek Machar's rebel group forced him to resign. He accused Machar of ignoring his fighters in Western Bahr al Ghazal. Ismail was speaking to me in Arabic, so we are voicing over his responses.
حصلت بعد التعديلات في القيادة العسكرية بتاعت الآيو تم ترقيتي إلى هيئة القيادة.
I have been a sector commander for the past few years. A reshuffle took place and I was promoted to the high military command of the IO, and I have realized that there is no assignment to do. I am a practical person. I need to work closely with my army in the front line as I did for the past years. That way, we can achieve a lot. I am really sorry to find out there is no institutional plan in the IO, and leaders are not respected. After the defection of Taban Deng to the government of Salva in Juba, there is a lack of confidence among leaders, so the work is no longer following the institutional order that is known to the IO.
You say IO forces in Western Bahr al Ghazal are idle, they are not doing anything.
Yes, this is what is going on in the front line. This is not what we expect. Our soldiers and citizens are suffering, and all these have an effect on the field work. You have been following up as media people that Riek Machar is now in South Africa after he left Juba, and he has been sidelined in the country, in the region, and internationally. He's not able to move, and he's not able to monitor the SPLA IO as he used to. So there is an imbalance among the leaders of the IO, and there is no work going on because everything is connected to him as a person.
Now, this decision for you to resign, is this a personal decision or you are resigning with other officers?
This is my personal decision, but what I'm expecting in the coming days is some leaders might follow my footprints. Because if you look at the new front, it is a military system and it could work and replace the vision of the SPLA-IO. It can serve the people in the area since the IO is not functioning. This can serve us better as military personnel more than politicians.
You said you have resigned from the SPLM-IO and you are now joining the National Salvation Front.
As I told you earlier, we are now sitting idle and we cannot move ahead. We are not able to produce any work in the absence of the head of the IO. But I am eager to serve my people and my soldiers in the field. So when I read the objectives of the Salvation Front, they are the same objectives that we are fighting for. This is what could liberate us from the government of the Jeng Council in Juba. That is why I have decided to join, because it will help me to serve my area. This is why I resigned and joined the Salvation Front movement.
Did you communicate with the leader of SPLM-IO, Dr. Riek Machar?
Before I resigned, I called him and I told him that I want to quit the SPLA-IO because I have seen in the new movement that there is a lot that I could give to my people in the area. The new leader is my colleague in the army, and I know him very well, so I decided to go. He tried to convince me for 1 hour that I should wait for some time because things might get better. I told him my people are suffering and the situation doesn't need delay. So I'm telling you this because you are the chairman and I don't want you to hear this from other people. This is my decision. He knows about this.
I spoke with the IO people and they said you have an administrative problem. That's why you resign.
This is not true. They just want to downplay my resignation. I am a field leader and I have been leading Major Force Noun in Western Bahr-Ghazal. I have a lot of achievements. I will challenge all of them to prove that he has given me an assignment and I have failed to deliver. Even Riek Machar, if he has anything to say about that, I am ready to answer him.
That's Ismail Fotur, the former SPLA IO sector commander for Western Bahr-Ghazal. General Ismail resigned last week and has since joined the National Salvation Front, which is run by General Thomas Cirilo Soaka. Ismail was speaking to me from Khartoum last week. SPLM-IO Director for Public Relations has dismissed the accusations made by General Faiz Ismail Fotur. Port Bot Bulang says Ismail was suspended last year from his position as Sector Commander of Western Bahr-Ghazal, but says SPLM-IO fighters in Western Bahr-Ghazal are not shaken by Ismail's decision to join the National Salvation Front.
Actually, we refute all those baseless accusations that was made by General Fattor in his statement. General Faiz Fattor was relieved from his position as the sector commander, Western Bahr-Ghazal in September last year by the chairman and commander-in-chief of the SPLM-IO, Dr. Riek Machar, based on some administrative issues.
What are these administrative issues? Can you explain?
Right now we can't disclose them because it's in the military issues, so we can't just expose it to the public. But if something was related to his activities as in a general in that time, because he was relieved and being replaced by General Thomas Basilio. So he was called to the general headquarters in Kaldag based on the document that was sent to our chief of staff, General Garwitler.
The point he raised is that the SPLM-IO leader, Dr. Riek Machar, is nowhere to be seen. He is not in South Sudan where action is taking place. Do you agree with him?
Yeah, actually, Dr. Riek Machar is the chairman and the commander-in-chief of the SPLM-IO. And we have several fronts for the SPLM-IO in entire South Sudan. Most of those generals, they don't see the chairman eye-to-eye to get their orders. Dr. Riek Machar right now is still capable to run the affairs of the movement in the both sections, the military and the political. So we think... This is not true, and it's very baseless for him to use this as an excuse to flit and join the new movement of General Thomas Cirilo.
That's Port Bot Bulang, SPLM-IO Director for Public Relations. He was speaking to me from Sudan last week. President Salva Kiir says former first Vice President Riek Machar can only participate in the national dialogue when he denounces violence. The president's remarks follows announcement to pardon his opponents, including those in detention. Mr. Kiir says some of the contentious issues in the peace deal he signed with Machar has been overcome by what he says is his good working relations with the current first Vice President Taban Dengai. VOA's Peter Cloti reached SPLM-IO Director for Public Relations, Port Bot Bulang, for his reaction.
The call for the national dialogue, we welcome it, but there's a lot of measures that should be recommended so that we can get inside to be part of the national dialogue. First of all, the war needs to stop because till now, yesterday, the government has an attack, a town of Mayandit, after a day of calling the national prayer. And to us, that's in a hypocrisy.
You are aware that President Salva Kiir has been pardoning some opponents to be part of it. He says that members of the SPLM-IO are violent, including the leaders, and that renouncing the violence basically grants you the opportunity to join the national dialogue if indeed the SPLM-IO cares for the people of South Sudan.
Yeah, that's his saying. But to be part of that national dialogue, first of all, we need to clear a ceasefire or the war to stop. Then we create a safe environment, okay, for the people, so that the dialogue should be inclusive.
If you care for your people as the SPLM-IO has been suggesting, why yes. wouldn't you do everything in your power to make peace with the president to be part of an...
We're doing what we have.
Which is what? Which is what?
But as you know, we're not only part in this crisis. The government, they're part of it. So even us, if we call for peace, ourselves and the government, they are not okay with that. The peace won't come to South Sudan.
So what do you think is the best step forward yes. to resolve this? Because the president has laid down what he would accept to make sure you join the national dialogue to resolve the political and the security crisis, unify the country so South Sudanese can return to the country and then begin working on attaining prosperity, among other things, because tens of thousands of them face farming at the moment.
To be part of this national dialogue, okay, we say that there's a need of the war to stop, because the government, they are the ones who are starting all this war since July. Us, as an SPLM-IO, we are pro-peace. And for, the biggest example for that we're the first party to sign the peace agreement in August 2015. This is the only solution.
That's SPLM-IO Director for Foreign for Public Relations, Bob Bolang, speaking to VOA's Peter Clodi from Sudan earlier yesterday. You are tuned to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, hunger hits northern Bahr al-Ghazal. That story is coming up right after this break.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
what music do you prefer, African or Western, and why?
I prefer Western music because the lyrics are more meaningful.
I love African music because African music, most of times they talk about what has happened, about events, about our traditional. So I like African music.
Actually, I like African music because I am an African, so I like African music and the dances.
I love African music. The beats are nice.
I prefer Western music because their beat is good, they go with the song, unlike this African music where the beat is different and the song is different.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
Hello! This is Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, we look at Ghana, 60 years after becoming the first black African country to gain independence. The 1957 precedent inspired other nations to seek their sovereignty, and 17 African countries gained independence in 1960. That's right here on the next Straight Talk Africa at 1830 UTC.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus. The South Sudan government is asking forces loyal to SPLM-IO leader Riek Machar to unconditionally release two Indian oil workers reportedly kidnapped in a Dar oil field last week. South Sudan's information minister, Michael Makui, told reporters in Juba today that the rebel forces are demanding ransom for the two workers. But SPLM-IO spokesman denies his group has demanded ransom for anyone. Tito Justin has the story for VOA from Juba.
Information Minister Michael Makwe says the two Indian nationals were kidnapped Wednesday morning. He says the two were on routine patrol at the Adar oil field when their car was stopped by what he calls outlaws and terrorist elements operating in Mawuti State. Makwe says Juba was dismayed to hear about the kidnapping of Ambrose Edward and Midam Kanes.
The Tigono would like to make the following. One, unconditional release of the two Indian nationals immediately. Two, calls upon the IGAD to condemn Riek Machar and his followers and blacklist them as terrorist negative force, and ensure the safety and unconditional release of the oil field workers.
Makwe says the government also received reports that rebel forces are demanding $1 million in a ransom for the oil workers. He says South Sudan's transitional government of national unity does not deal with the terrorists.
Tigono is bound by international laws and UN resolutions and charters to counter terrorists wherever they are. The government is not ready to pay ransom that encourages terrorist acts and activities.
A SPLM-IO spokesman denies the group is demanding ransom but admits arresting the two workers. Lieutenant Colonel Lampol Gabriel, the SPLM-IO deputy military spokesman, says his group arrested the two Indians because it does not want foreigners working in South Sudan's oil fields. He says the SPLM-IO has formed a committee to interrogate the two Indians who he says are being held in Matiang village of Mawuti State.
That is propaganda and just unfounded accusation. That is not true. We never demanded any ransom for anybody caught. So after the investigation, if nothing is found bad with them, they'll be released and they'll go back safely.
Petroleum Minister Ezekiel Lolgat Court says the two foreign oil workers were kidnapped because they left their workstation without escorts. Gatquot says the government has learned a lesson and will take more strict measures to protect oil workers in the area.
We are not blaming anybody, but it would have been better for anybody working in the oil fields to take permission first before you go out, because this one happened because there was no protection. If they were given us escort, they would have not been kidnapped. But now we have decided that to make sure that all the oil workers are protected, all the oil fields are protected, and this one is not going to happen again.
The two Indians oil workers are contractors with the Petronas Oil Company. For VOA News, I am Tito Justin in Juba.
More than 5,000 South Sudanese fleeing hunger in northern Bahr al-Ghazal have been stranded, some for months at the South Sudan-Sudan border and are in need of humanitarian assistance. The IDPs say they have been prevented from crossing into Sudan by both Sudanese and South Sudanese authorities. They are holed up at Ramading village in Rokrok East of the South Sudan's newly created Lol state. Abraham Agot has the story for VOA from Ramading.
South Sudan relief officials invited more than 15 humanitarian organizations to assess the needs of the IDPs. IDP Atakwot says while making his way to Sudan, he got stuck living under a tree for 3 months. Kwot says he and other villagers have gone for days without eating any food.
We came from different villages heading to Khartoum when we heard that there was plenty of food there. When we arrived here, we ran out of the food we had carried and wanted to forge a way of living here. But it's not easy here. Everyone is suffering. We usually spend 4 days or more without food. There is too much suffering here.
Another IDP, Akot Atak Akon, who also speaks Dinka, says he can't even find enough water for his two children to quench their thirst.
We have already lost hope as we stay under these thorny trees. We used to go and beg for a little groundnuts we could get from local residents living around here. But now we can't even find that. Thirst is also killing us here.
IDP Abakanai says in Dinka that she needs relief food for her children.
If at any chance there is any assistance to be given, then it would be very much appreciated to have ready foods. There is also an issue of shelter. We would love to have adequate camps because it is not good to have our children under the trees like this.
Korok East Commissioner Garangbola Tany urges humanitarian organizations to provide food, shelter and water to the IDPs here.
We have a lot of people here. They came from different places. From Awuli State, and our state, Lolo State. They came here because they want to go to North Sudan because of food, and now they need for food, water, and health plus education.
Ngongong Bag is a chief of the host community in Korok East. Speaking in Dinka, he says at least 8 people, including children, have died because of disease and hunger since arriving in November and December last year and early this year.
These people died of disease. They eat only tree leaves, which later give them diarrhea. This usually affects children, resulting in death. Many children and elderly people died too. 8 people have died so far, and many others are still suffering.
Relief and Rehabilitation Commission Director Deng Kwel Kwel says his office is working with 8 groups to assist stranded IDPs.
Our coming here, we get the request from the authorities of the Lolo State that the IDPs came in Rumading and their situation is completely worse. This is why I make the request from the all partners to address the issues.
Representatives of some of the aid organizations here declined to comment for their story, saying they are not authorized to speak to the media. For VOA News, I am Abraham Agoth reporting from Rumading in Korok East County, Lolo State.
That's our show for this Monday. We now leave you with the song Get Up, Stand Up by Bob Marley.
Get up, stand up, stand up for your right. Get up, stand up, stand up for your right. Get up, stand up, stand up for your right. Get up, stand up, don't give up the fight.
Preacher man, don't tell me heaven is under the earth.
Been listening to Bob Marley with the song Get Up, Stand Up. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Thanks for being here. Tune in again tomorrow evening for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Get up, stand up in the morning, give it up, stand up for